Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Jans with Agency Revolution. We make it easy to automate your systems, engage your customers, and to grow your agency or brokerage. I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where we examine the trends, innovations, challenges, and solutions to the biggest problems facing retail agents and brokers. I'm thrilled to introduce today's guest. He is a friend of mine, a client of ours, and a leader in the industry. Neil Robertson is one of the principals of the Robertson Insurance and Risk Management Agency. It's a family-owned and operated agency in Lititz, Pennsylvania. Neil's particular responsibilities in the agency deal largely with people, systems, marketing, and legal issues. He's a certified speaker, trainer, and coach with the John Maxwell team. He speaks frequently and teaches frequently on his passion, which is leadership, and he will talk about how he addresses that in his agency. He operates his own law firm and is a member of the faculty of the Pennsylvania Bar Institute, where he teaches business insurance for attorneys. One of the issues that I think you'll find most fascinating is how Neil addresses the issue of how do you stand out from the crowd? How do you create differentiation? He'll also share with you sort of a secret turning point in his own life where he heard some words from another colleague and client of ours, and how it completely transformed the way he looked at his agency really forever, and he never looked back from then. So he's applied those principles to his agency, and they have had a major impact on growth and transformation. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to my friend, Neil Robertson. Neil, hello, and thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing well, Michael. Thanks. I appreciate you having me here today.
It's a tremendous opportunity for us, and of course, I've gotten to know you as a client and now as a member of our Million Dollar Club. So I've had a window on your agency. I actually think we've been working with your agency for more years than I can even remember right now. But as we've gotten to know each other more as a client at Connect and as a Million Dollar Club member, it's been an inspiration to watch the transformation of what you have done. So I'm going to start at the very beginning. Tell us a little bit about the agency itself and how you joined the industry.
Sure. Our agency, it's Robertson Insurance and Risk Management. We're located in South Central Pennsylvania, the Lititz area. For most people, that's Amish country, and that's where most people know us. So it's my father and my brother and I. It's a family-owned and operated insurance agency, and mm-hmm. we're primarily commercial insurance. So that's where a lot of our focus and discussion and transformation, you know, has come from or come into. And then we've been in the industry for quite some time, and this agency's been around for over 30 years.
And you, however, did not start. You didn't graduate college and join the industry, as I recall. You had kind of an interesting career on the legal side and the legal profession. How was it that you made that transition?
Well, I mean, I grew up, you know, Dad was always in the insurance business. So, I had an introduction early and was licensed, you know, in between college. And interesting story, we were in San Francisco at a restaurant, and Dad and my mom and I, you know, first time there, my dad calls the waiter over, and I'm thinking, okay, more sourdough bread and refills on the drinks. And he's, hey, the sprinkler head is covered. You know, you need to make sure that gets off so the sprinkler operates properly.
Right.
It's just how you grow up in the industry. And so I was always exposed to it, but took a different path, went to law school, and then ended up working in a law firm that handled litigation for a very large, well-known manufacturer, and mm-hmm. We handled their employment law discrimination cases all across the country. So, you know, there it was, you're always trying to influence, and, you know, it was one of those things that as we quickly got involved in litigation, you know, you spent a lot of time working to persuade people, you know, by influencing them. So whether it's the jury or the judge or a court of appeals, you know, your client wanted the results, and you know, we were always trying to find, hey, what's the most compelling reason for people to come and believe in us, right?
Right.
Believe in what we're trying to find right. for us if it was a jury trial. Yeah.
And it's not always the facts, is that right? I mean, were you also it's about other sort of psychographic and emotional motivators that influence people? Is that something you found?
Sure, absolutely. You know, you're always working to find the story that is compelling. You know, and so you're always working towards what's going to connect with these people, what facts, what things are important or not important. So it was one of those things for us is, you know, you had to make that compelling argument. And so some things weren't going to help you and other things were, but it was you're always trying to put that forward, because for us, if we lost, you know, that was probably, with the size of our firm, that we'd probably lose our largest client. So you're really fighting for
stakes,
you know,
are high.
Like, I could, it's not like insurance, where I can come back next year, and you know, it's like we needed to win, and if we didn't win, you know, we probably would lose the client and you know, possibly lose my job. So it's one of those things that it was a lot of pressure, but so you're always fighting for your life at that point in time. So to win.
Right. So at some point you chose to leave a lucrative career in the legal profession and come into the family business.
Yes. You know, having been exposed and, you know, always continuing to talk to Dad about what they were doing and how they were doing things, you know, just we started talking. More of what he was dealing with was legal or other related areas. So, you know, we just saw a natural fit between what I was doing in law and what the agency was doing here. And so when I joined, I opened my own law practice, which I still have to today, and also helped out with people and process and other things that we have going on inside the agency. So it kind of, we started some services to our clients that was new and unique, you know, and so it's been nice to be able to serve our clients that way. We've been doing it for quite some time. So
okay.
If they have legal questions, they can call in. Sure.
All right. So it's some of those unique things that you're doing that I think are most fascinating. So when you came back to be in the insurance industry looking from the inside out, what did you see? What did you observe that was different, and how did that affect what you chose to do with the agency?
Sure. I think for us it was, or for me it was one of those things that you know, it was a difficult transition going from, you know, influence via, you know, strength of position and ability to tell a story that connected with people, and versus, you know, what the industry is really, you know, entrenched in, which is I'm going to win on price and coverage. And so, you know, for me it was always that is really, because I'm the lowest priced, you know, agency, is that really the most compelling reason why someone should come and do business with us?
Uh-huh.
And so that was the challenge. There was this tension between those things. Is, you know, is this all we have to offer?
And so, was there soul searching that took place in the agency when you raised that question?
There was, and I think, you know, what was really helpful was that was something that once we started to talk about that inside our agency, you know, we all came to the conclusion that we really needed to be doing something different. And for us, there was, you know, Michael, you know, probably one of the most influential moments you had with me and our agency was during an interview. I don't know how long ago that was, but you had Umberto Fidelli from Cleveland
on. Yes.
And, you know, he, you know, highly successful agency. And so we spent a lot of time learning about others that were successful. And one of the things that he said that probably was one big moment for us was he said, and it was the reason for his success, was, you know, you need to be something other than an insurance agent or an insurance agency.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of resonated with us to think, well, you know, if he's built that level of success off of that, what do we need to do to be something other than an insurance agency? And then there was also one other thing while we started to really think about what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it. You know, this resounding other principle that came to us was, you know, not all risk is going to be handled by writing a check to an insurance company.
Right.
So how are we going to, you know, for us, we said, how are we going to serve our clients and make sure that they're taken care of in all those areas? So we had done quite a bit with the legal and other things to help in those areas of risk, but there was a whole area of operation that we hadn't even touched on at that point in time. So
talk to me about the differences. What, after you went through some soul searching and probably some, oh, you know, maybe kind of a transformation of thinking within the agency, because it wasn't just your decision to make. You had to collaborate with the other principals. What did you describe? What's the difference between your agency now and your agency 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we had to realize at that point in time is that if we're going to become something different, that we needed to change. And really, in order to make those changes, we looked at ourselves first. You know, we're looking at other successful agencies. How are they doing it? But then also successful leaders. And so we started to begin this journey of personal growth as well. And we realized that, you know, there were some things that we needed to do to become more effective leaders inside our organization. And you know, one of the things, one of the John Maxwell theories that's out there, where he has a book called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And one of the things that we realized that was probably in effect with us was that what's called the law of the lid. And you can, you know, in there it says your business is only going to grow as far as your leadership ability or leadership effectiveness grows.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
As we grow, you know, then our agency could grow. And so that was really the start of those things, is that as we grew, we saw the potential for attracting the right people, for building a culture that's going to, you know, adopt and change and really take on a whole new persona.
So what do you think customers find from you that they probably don't find elsewhere in the marketplace?
Yeah, I think really for us it really starts with our view on how we serve our clients. You know, we really start with that. And so I think probably the easiest way to explain it, you know, I've talked about this before, is, you know, if somebody walked in with a $20 bill, you know, attached to their forehead into the typical insurance agency, you know, someone's going to, you know, the training has been is, you know, how much of that $20 can I extract from that person? And so, you know, I'm going to try to take as much of that and put as much of that in my pocket. And so what happens is, you know, our idea instead is, for that $20, how much value can I create and provide that client? And it might seem small, but it's a mindset that is, all the things that we're doing is we're going to provide as much value as we possibly can in exchange for what they're going to be providing us.
Uh-huh.
So our value proposition is, you know, how can we better serve our clients, and how can we help them become more successful and better? You know, they're going to have to buy their insurance from someone. We
right.
feel that
uh-huh.
they're going to get something from us
right.
by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay. So are there discrete programs or offerings? Do you package this in a way that you think is connecting with your marketplace that accounts for the growth you're having?
Sure. One of the things that really, you know, we approach it from the standpoint is that, look, without this level of services that we're providing, you're really being underserved. And so we really focus on how we can help them. So risk management is one piece. We have a client portal that allows our clients to, you know, 24/7, they can
right.
go in and pull whatever resources that they're looking for as it relates to safety, as it relates to compliance and other important information that they need. We also continue to offer the in-house legal. So if someone has a question about HR or other things, they can
right.
contact me, and we'll help them through that. Example would be last winter, one of our fuel oil dealers had an issue. They wanted to let a friendly competitor borrow one of their trucks.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the issue was, hey, just let them have it. And we said, hey, whoa, hold on. How about we help you address that via contract? So I put together something to help them with that. So those are the types of things that we're doing there. And now we've kind of grown into another area, because a lot of times what we're asking people to do or to become better requires them to make changes. And so we've moved into another space there, is how do we help them become better leaders? And so, you know, we ourselves are now, you know, we run mastermind programs to help people become more effective leaders. We'll do training. We've hosted events and done other things there. So really working on a holistic manner to help these people, our clients, become much better. And some of those things are for our clients, and others are for, you know, for people outside of our agency as well, and just offering those things to help them become better in business.
So you took Umberto's advice really seriously when he said, don't just be an insurance agency. And he was really serious about that. By the way, I'm going to dig up the recording of that interview, and I'm going to find a way to publish those transcripts, because they were life-changing for a lot of people, that particular interview was. So yeah. So you took that really seriously. So this this mastermind concept, the average agent would probably say, what does that have to do with insurance? So connect the dots for us. Why do you think that's important?
Well, it really comes back to, I mean, you know, we built out, one thing we did was, you know, we have that thought where, you know, we need to be helping people handle all the risks that faces their company. And so if we say that, you know, we also need to build a culture that helps people understand and helps us actually execute on that. And so one of the building blocks that we have for our culture is that, you know, we value others. And so it doesn't always mean that we're going to be focused in on how this generates a sale. You know, we live by, you know, one, there's two mottos. You know, Zig Ziglar said it one way, which was, you know, you will get all you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want.
Right.
And and same thing, you know, John Maxwell, and this is often quoted, you know, by my dad, and it's just kind of a principle we run by, is, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
So if you're always looking, as, you know, again, if we're looking to provide as much value to what we do to a client, you know, in exchange for that $20, then, you know, these things really aren't, you know, people aren't a means to an end. If you're always looking to say, hey, what I'm going to give them and I want something in return for that, we would view that as manipulative. So, I want a quid pro quo. We think, look, we do enough right things for people over time, then the revenue and other things take care of themselves.
Got it. All right. So you made a strategic shift. Tell me what it was like to build an internal culture that supports that strategy. What what does it feel like? If I were on the team at the agency, what does the culture feel like, and how do you make it feel that way?
Sure. Well, I mean, really one of the things is we tie everything back into that. So, you know, the visualization is really just it's really just taking what you value and communicating that to the team. And so, you know, we're clear on what those building blocks. You know, we value others. You know, that's the one part there, and we start from there. If someone comes in, we also value the team. So the people that we have here, we are very careful about who we select. And, you know, if they're not fitting into the team, then, you know, we work to make sure that they are fitting. But we spend a lot of time making sure that we don't bring the wrong people into the team. We seek their advice, you know, and work with them. But what we do and how we do it, you know, is dependent on the great people that we have here. So, you know, there's any number of things, but if someone comes in, you know, we're going to do all we can to value who is here. I mean, it's the greatest investment that you make as a business owner. So, and it's your greatest expense, but it's also your greatest asset. So we work very hard to make sure that we're doing all we can to take care of the people here. We love our team. We absolutely love them, and they do a fantastic job for us.
Got it. All right. So I'm going to ask you a question that I think might be of a lot of value to a lot of our listeners, and it's a slightly personal. So I know your dad. I've met your dad. I've worked with him some, and so I suspect that getting his support and approval to add more value was not hard. I mean, that's kind of the nature of your dad as I know him. But still, you were looking at a transformation of the agency, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And so, you don't have to give us the dirty details about whether you had to, you know, wrestle it out in the conference room. But what would you say, obviously, like, you know, like everybody, we deal with a tremendous number of multi-generation agencies, some in family, sometimes, you know, not in the family, where the younger generation has a different perspective. Maybe they see the world a little bit more the way it is right now and less the way that it was, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. They're aware of changing demographic and changing consumer behavior. What kind of advice would you give to, you know, an incoming second or third generation so that they can get the support and approval and collaboration of the older generation who may, in fact, and probably does, own more shares in the agency and so forth.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think the key, and I've been very fortunate in that, Jim, my father, it has always been wide open to where I'm coming from and listening. Most of the time, it's a matter of, okay, where do we agree? And, maybe we didn't quite agree with the means and methods, and we had to work through that. And we learned as we went. I think both of us were very much, hey, let's learn more. We're more happy with learning than we are with failing. So let's push forward, learn as much as we can. Let's see what we can do and how we can adjust. And we've made adjustments along the way, but it was very difficult to make that change and propose that change, especially to everybody else inside the agency, because we were successful. We were able to make it work.
That makes it even harder to change sometimes.
It is. It's like, when you're making structural changes like that, it's like taking a piece of iron and trying to put it into a set piece of concrete. I mean, a concrete set, something's going to break somewhere. So it creates its own set of challenges. But where we could agree, and I think that's the thing, let's focus on what we do agree on. And I think we were at a point where, we were tired of not being valued for what we were doing.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those things that we had to make a decision. Were we going to be the William Shatners of the insurance world, where we're a licensed price negotiator? Or are we going to really focus on the people that want to be with our agency, that look at what we do and how we do that? And so we were all pretty tired of the renewal cycle that would come up. And each year we would do a tremendous amount of – we would serve these clients really well. And what we'd end up doing is we'd have to remarket them, and then they'd leave because they could get that insurance program for – and a inferior product for a cheaper price, and there was no way to salvage that. And so there was very much common ground, and we finally said, let's find a way to be successful. Let's help our producers. Let's find a way to help them be successful. So we've invested in all these things to help support them. Connect is one of those things that we've invested in as well through Agency Revolution that allows us to support our producers to help them be more successful. There's any number of ways we can do that, but I think you got to start with the common ground and start there. And once you establish that, then you can start to do that. You've also got to be very reflective. If we are unable to say, hey, where's our threats and opportunities, and be candid about those things, change really isn't going to happen. Change only happens when there's that tension between where you are and where you want to be. And once that happens, then you start to realize that, hey, I need to move forward, and I need to make changes. And we just realized that's where we need. We saw this is where the future needs to be, and so that's the direction we headed.
All right. So speaking of the direction that you're headed, where do you want to be, and what do you see yourself doing there in the agency 2 or 3 years from now?
2 or 3 years. I would say you're really just expanding on what we've done, and when you're looking at how much value you can provide to a client, you're always going to have the people that say, "Oh, we can do that too," and so we're always looking to do more. And so we're looking at right now is how can we continue to add value to that relationship. So it could be any number of ways, but I see us just growing in that concept and trying to find a way to make that. Make this relationship more meaningful, make the client experience fantastic, so they become our raving fans, that they attract others that want to do business with us that are like-minded as well.
All right, terrific. By the way, you gave me a new term, licensed price negotiator. Like that. I was a writer downer. You don't want to be an LPN anymore.
Right. But it is. It's hard. It unfortunately there's just been a lot of success. And so, just with working with you, Michael, things are changing.
Uh-huh.
And so what is that level, what is that value proposition that we are providing? Because others are able to quickly and quickly provide a price and provide convenience and provide other things, really what's separating us from everybody else. And so really sitting down and taking inventory of those things and making sure that you do have a real – you are providing value to your clients is critical.
Got it. All right, Neil, this has been tremendously valuable. If you can hang with me, I want to spend an intimate moment with Neil. Can we do that? And I can ask you a few sort of more personal questions. Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
All right. So I obviously, you know, in working with you, I hear your stories, and I know that you felt so strongly about the commitment to the agency providing leadership and you providing leadership. You took leadership training. I know that obviously training and learning is really important to you. So tell us about that process and why that was so meaningful to you.
Well, it really started back, you know, we renovated our 9,000 square foot building 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we included was a training facility inside of our building. So, you know, we can state-of-the-art AV, you know, we could put people in there. That, for our clients to use for off-site meetings, but we decided that, you know, we were going to provide a university or a training place for our clients. And, you know, we were working on what is that going to look like and how is that going to be. And so April of last year, learned about the John Maxwell leadership team. So mm-hmm. there's a, you know, John Maxwell is the number one leader in the leadership space, and so I took on the task of becoming a certified trainer, speaker, and coach.
Uh-huh.
So I can help leaders, I can, you know, teach in the leadership field, but we just feel that that's just a critical point for our clients in order to grow inside inside their businesses and become more effective. So long process, ramped up to a conference that took place in August, and so after that started working with clients and other people. So I had an open invitation to like-minded people who are interested in personal growth, and so we have masterminds running and run training, or if not training, then you know, working individual coaching, try to help people work through the limiting beliefs that are holding them back inside their personal and in their business realm.
How do your clients, how do they respond to that? It's, you know, obviously you've gone way outside the box here as a licensed price negotiator.
Sure.
So for example, as clients come to your shop and they go to your university and they take, let's say, a leadership course or something from you, what does that do to the relationship? How does that transform the relationship?
Well, It really removes, you know, insurance is one of the things that we do. We build a relationship around them. It's multifaceted with these people. And again, we start from the standpoint of how can we serve them? What value can we provide? And so, you know, these are all things that it's not forced. It really, you know, if there's no sales pitch during this time, it's like how do we do enough for them so that they can grow their business? I mean, really, if you want to talk insurance, you know, if their exposure or their business grows, and then, you know, the insurance premiums grow, it's one of those things that happen. But if you view it that way, then it's forced. If it's one of those things that it's a byproduct of the way that you serve these people, it really makes a huge difference. And so it's been great to see, especially in follow-up afterwards. We deal a lot in the Amish community, and one of the things that I have a huge admiration for these business owners, because what we end up seeing is that you know, they have eighth grade education, but they're running multi-million dollar companies,
right.
And so I have a lot of respect for them in the sense that they're able to do that with these limitations, either in doing the technology limitations. But what we found is that this really is something that resonates with them. They're very much readers, so you know, if they come in to visit, I'm giving them books. It could be any number of things that we have here. But they're very willing to learn and very excited to learn in these areas. So it's exciting. It's great to see the light bulb go off and see people moving forward and making necessary changes and adopting some of these things. And so it's
okay.
That's exciting for us. It's fulfilling. Look, that's really what we had to look at, is what do we want to be? And if it's about being that price negotiator, then, you know, it's about the sale. But for us, it's like, how do we help these? We really care about these people, and how do we help them grow? So.
All right. So you had mentioned reading. I know you read a lot. And by the way, thank you for the gift of John Maxwell's book on leadership. So, Neil, if you were going to pick, let's say, three books that have been particularly inspirational to you,
sure,
what would you say?
I'm a person of faith, so I'll start with the one that's okay. Probably, you know, I'll start with the Bible.
Fair enough.
You know, I mean, fair enough. You know, take it for whichever way you want to do that, but that's been highly influential in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, there's, you know, the 21 Irrefutable Laws is kind of a, it's just a leadership manual.
Yeah.
There's so much inside of that. It's, what I love about that is that it's simple to read. The application is the really difficult part.
Okay.
That's,
you know, John Maxwell's book, for those who aren't familiar with it. Okay. So that's
sure.
Two.
And then two that I read this past year that I thought were excellent. One is Extreme Ownership, and that's by two gentlemen. It's Jocko, I got the book here, Jocko Willink, he is one of them, and Leif Babin is the other one. They were two Navy SEALs that wrote a book on what they on leadership after they spent several months in Al Ramadi, Iraq. So same group that had Chris Kyle, American Sniper.
Yes.
So, yeah, excellent book, very practical. And then the other one was by a gentleman named Pat Lancioni, and it's called The Ideal Team Player.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was great. I'm one to take difficult concepts and put them down into very simple, applicable terms. And I like that one because it finally, we all talk about what teamwork is. This put a framework around it. And so I was able to, I read the book. We had a meeting the next week and said, hey, this is what we're looking for when we talk about teamwork. So it's been helpful for our team as well to say, hey, these are the things that we're going to focus on when we talk about teamwork.
Got it. All right. So I have another question for you.
Okay.
If you were going to deliver one sentence to the insurance industry that, you know, you were going to say, do this, what would you say? You can use a semicolon, you know. I'll let you riff on it a little bit, but yeah, if you were going to boil down the essence of one message to the industry and to your peers, agents and brokers throughout North America, what would you say?
Yeah, I would say, you know, find a way to provide real value. That's where you build the relationships.
Got it. All right. And you guys are doing that. You're doing that admirably. I'm going to wind up. I do want to I want to congratulate you on something that you shared in Million Dollar Club in Phoenix last week. Where you talked about, and I'm not going to ask you to get into the details, but I think the essence of it is profound. Your first meeting with a prospect, in your first meeting with a prospect, you more or less refuse to talk about insurance. You definitely don't talk about price. You talk about why having a relationship with you is different.
Yes.
That's it. And then there's the social contract. If this is interesting to you, do you want to proceed or not?
That's correct.
Yeah, very good. And how does it, what does it feel like to deliver that conversation instead of getting swept into the LPN conversation?
Yeah. Well, you know, we like to tell our story, and I'm a firm believer that story is the way that connects with people. And, you know, what we do may not be for some people. And if we invest 30 minutes to get to know somebody, fantastic. And if it's not going to work for us, you know, however that may be, you know, further business relationship isn't something that we want to pursue. Hey, 30 minutes is a great time to get to know somebody, get to know about what they do, and they know about us.
Uh-huh.
And for everybody, it's a small investment of time to learn about what we do and how we do that. So
very good.
It's
all
really
right.
Nothing other than a story, Michael.
Yep. Okay. Neil, this has been fun, hopefully it's given everybody an opportunity to really think deeply about what it is, the value that they deliver in the marketplace. So thanks for making us think about that. I appreciate that. I'm going to wind it up. I don't want to swamp you with phone calls and emails and so on and so forth. So I would say maybe the best thing is if somebody wants to spend a little time with Neil, come to one of our events because you're most likely going to be there. Okay.
I will be there. Yeah.
All right. Yep. Very good. Again, thanks so much and have a terrific day.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for all you do for the agencies as well. And for our industry, I truly appreciate your hard work and your thoughtfulness in the insurance industry.
Right on. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking Media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.